Good morning. You're listening to KRBS 107.1 FM in Oroville, California. The program you're tuned into is Left Turn on Bird Street. My name is Dan Gowerthy, along with my colleague,
Tom Nato.
Thanks for joining us today. We're a few minutes late starting, so bear with us. There's a big street fiesta going on here in Oroville, so we had a little problem getting in some parking here. We had to kind of run the barricades.
Those thugs parking illegally, pointing out. You know, now that's, you know, how that has become fashionable to back into your parking spaces these days.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And we have to give a shout out to the Sacramento or the Elk Grove, California based rock independent rock group by the name of Roskomar. The members of Roskomar yesterday recorded a song specifically for us to air on this program, and the name of the song is Granite Slab. And
disclaimer,
well, we'll get to the disclaimer in a moment. Granite Slab was recorded specifically for Left Turn on Bird Street, and lo and behold, yours truly forgot to bring the CD. So what we're going to do later on today for our good friends in the group Roskomar is we're going to post a link to their website on MySpace, and we're going to have a link so you can listen to their song that was written and composed and performed for our benefit, and we forgot to... I forgot to bring it. So, and what's the disclaimer, Tom?
The disc jockey is related to the product that he is promoting.
Nepotism is a great thing, just like the Bush family. Hey, if the Bush family can have it, why can't the Gowerthy family? Actually, the group Roskomar has my son...
which is the street you live on.
Right. I didn't come up with the name. You know, I keep... I won't tell you what I call them personally because, you know, my son will be offended. But the name of the group is Roskomar, and the song is Granite Slab, and... my son Will is the drummer of the group, and since he's the drummer, you know, I'm not
Will?
A musician. Will, you know, that's what he goes by. He doesn't go by Billy. He goes by Billy, but you know, he's cool now. You know, he goes by Will.
Okay.
Will.
Okay.
Yeah. Artist. What can I say? Artist. You know.
Well, you should see how many spellings and variations Alex has gone through.
Oh, I can only imagine. But Will, as we'll call him on this show in this context anyhow, you know, he's the drummer. And it's true, you know, somebody warned me, said, you know, we bought him the drum set for Christmas. And they said, well, you know, what's he going to do? I said, well, he wants to form a group with some of his friends. He said, I think it was you maybe even told me. He says, not a good idea. I said, why? Well, you know, they always rehearse at the drummer's house. You know what? You're right. The friends bring their guitars and their little speakers, and they're quite portable, but the drums aren't quite portable. But they have actually had a concert in the garage.
Well, you were saying that they had a performance.
Yeah, they had a performance. They had some of the kids in the neighborhoods come out in the neighborhood. Neighborhoods. Sound like George W. Bush now. And some of the kids in the neighborhood came out and watched them. So our apologies to the independent rock group Roskomar that we weren't able to perform your song Granite Slab on the air today. We were going to have an exclusive, a debut, an international debut, because our program is heard on Live 365 also, so people around the world would have heard it, and they're going to bypass
Dan,
us.
This is despicable. Just think of those kids down in Sacramento gathered around their radios listening for us. Actually, we're online there, but gathered around their laptops, just listening for Miss Billy. Is Will there? He's still in the background.
This is some shameless self-promotion nepotism, too. But
you know, I wanted to ask about that self-promotion.
Yeah.
Is entirely within the nature of the human being. So how do they do it in the Stone Age? I mean, what do they have to promote other than, you know, I'm great, well, I'll be the chief, or my son is going to be the chief? Yeah, I guess it all worked pretty
Smoke
much.
Smoke signals. They have, cave drawings.
Yeah, exactly. Those are actually political campaign bumper stickers.
And they say negative campaigning is new, you know. They show a picture of a guy spearing another guy. You know, it was not survival of the fittest. Those were political campaigns for who's going to be the head of the cave, right?
Exactly.
Something like that. So anyhow...
Am I coming up enough of there? I mean...
Let's see.
Am I talking here?
You're talking fine.
Okay.
I hope I'm sounding okay. So anyhow, that's our little shame, my little shameless self-plug here for the group Roskomar and my son, Will.
And you can always say, they would say over your, when you're going into the jail there, you know, well, he only did it for his family.
Right. I'm resigning for to spend more time with my family, in quote marks here. Oh, you know, before I forget, I should mention the other members of the group. There's also Kevin on bass, James on lead guitar, and John on rhythm guitar. So, and Will's on drums. So thank you guys from Roskomar for performing, recording, distributing it, and shame on me, as George Bush said, fool me once for, well, I won't get fooled again.
That quote. Well, you know, also, to take some of the heat off you, I'm the one who forgot our theme.
Right, and here's another, you know, golly, we're, what, 5 minutes, 6 minutes into the show, and we're still on this nepotism theme. The theme for Left Turn on Bird Street, the words were written by Tom. And our number two son, Michael, composed the brooding music to it, actually. Yeah, it's very brooding, foreboding. You know, I've had actually people say they get scared listening to it.
Mickey Spillane would like that.
Right. Mickey Spillane.
Peter Gunn, I'd like to hear that.
Maybe we could give him, like, what was Mike Hammer's secretary? What was her name? I can't remember. You know, the kind of the curvaceous blonde.
Roscoe?
No. So anyhow, we don't have either one of our themes today, so we're going to have to play some regular mainstream musicians for our bumper music. So
sorry about that.
Sorry about that. Oh, like to remind our listeners, 5 dozen of you out there in the world, that
are, many?
Yeah, that many. We're doing well, Tom. We're doing well. Ooh, a little sound effects here. Actually, we'd like to invite you to visit our blog on the internet, and it's located at www.ltobs.blogspot.com.
And all the opinions spoken here are ours alone, not those of the station or our station owners or board directors.
Oh, Tom, thanks for reminding me. That's our disclaimer for the show. You know, the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily reflect the view or opinion of KRBS, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, or most importantly, underwriters. So,
yes.
But they should be. Anyhow, now that we got all that out, we got the nepotism. Do you have any, since we're on the nepotism topic, Tom, do you have any nepotism that you want to talk about? Anything?
No shows for Alex coming up.
Oh, okay.
No forthcoming novels by me.
None? Oh, okay.
There's, I can't think of anything worth promoting about myself.
Okay, well, so as our regular listeners know, our show is about politics and current affairs and the news and everything that's going on. And as usual, the one thing that I can say is how long we've been on the air now, Tom? Almost 3 years?
Close to three years.
We have never had a shortage of topics just from the Bush administration itself.
I think the word is surfeit.
Yeah, right.
Too much. I mean, overfloweth right now. Everybody's under indictment.
Yeah, who isn't? I guess the easier question to ask is, who is not under indictment? You know, that's the easier way.
Is this where we get our Diogenes guy out with a flashlight around? Who in here is not under indictment?
Everybody stand up who's not under indictment. One or two people stand up, and that's about it, you know. But
No. The joke is, could anybody out there who is not under indictment stand up? One guy stands up, and they add, yet. He sits down.
Okay, so let's lead off with news. It's a little bit over a week old, but it's relevant to the whole discussion of where we're going to go today. The first thing we want to discuss is the sudden and unexpected resignation of former CIA director Porter Goss.
He didn't even have time enough to want to phrase it for my family to spend more time with.
No, it's not. There wasn't the you know, the normal, I'm going to spend some personal reasons or spend more time with my family.
Really scary about that thing is not that he's fired, is that apparently that allows Negroponte, the really scary guy, the guy who actually has brains,
right,
to take over. And then also with Hayden getting involved, just it's. Well, that's the end of the country right there.
You know, it's getting, yeah, that's not a good sign. But actually, you know, Porter Goss, you know, there's, you know, depending on who you read, The circumstances surrounding his resignation, I find, are very telling, and it's kind of goes back to Tom's joke about who's not under indictment. And it's, you know, just as a side note, when he resigned a week ago yesterday, you know, the mainstream media was really initially unwilling to touch the topic, and they're still kind of unwilling to touch it or even come right out and say it, even on a lot of news outlets. But basically, the allegations are, and they're quite serious, actually, is that Porter Goss and his the number three at the CIA.
The wonderful name.
Yeah, this guy, the number three man, Dusty, is it Fogo or?
Dusty Fogo. F-O-G-G-O. And Nine Fingers.
Yeah, right, Nine Fingers. That sounds like somebody in the mob. You know, it sounds like, you know, a hit guy or something like
mob.
That.
Mob, the outfit.
Yeah, actually, it's like the Japanese. What's the Japanese mafia? Because they cut off the, you know, to be a member of Made Man, they have to cut off
Yakuza.
The... Yeah, right. They have to cut off the tip of their pinky or something like this.
The whole finger goes.
Oh, the whole finger?
Yeah, right there, at least by the knuckle and down to the second knuckle.
Oh, is that right? Yee, jeez. But anyhow, Dusty...
Put those Caesars down.
Dusty, who is the number three man at the CIA, is alleged to have been involved with a gentleman by the name of Brent Wilkes. And Brent Wilkes is
who in turn was involved with...
Randy Duke Cunningham, who
who was in turn involved with...
corruption, basically. Cunningham is actually was sentenced. Randy Duke Cunningham was a congressman from the San Diego area who was convicted. He wasn't even. He never actually went to trial because he just admitted his guilt. He was sentenced
right for a the benefit of a lower sentence, which he did
right
by getting ratting out everybody else, which led us to everybody else.
Right. So this Dusty, is it Fogo?
Fogo. F-O-G-G-O.
Okay. Dusty.
That's how I'm pronouncing it.
Yeah. Okay. Mr. Fogo was, it's alleged that he took numerous bribes from Brent Wilkes, who is the person who Randy Duke Cunningham received.
Now, if I interrupt, this Fogo or Fogo is not to be confused with Frodo.
Yeah, right.
Now, Frodo is good. Fogo is not.
Is Frodo good? I can't remember. Is Frodo the good
guy?
Just,
he's the focus of the... He's the hero that causes everything to happen.
Oh, okay, okay. That's right. Right.
He lost his finger, too.
So, anyhow, Fogo is alleged to have taken bribes from Brent Wilkes, who is a California-based defense contractor. I guess lobbyist is probably the better term for it. And he is the one that Duke Cunningham was convicted of taking bribes from, the fancy toilet seats, yachts, inflated real estate prices. And in turn, Mr. Fogo is alleged to have had many poker parties at, and this is the great part, in the Watergate Hotel. I mean, you know, I mean, that name, we can't escape it, the Watergate Hotel. And not only was there gambling going on and drinking, there was prostitutes involved. And
specially provided.
Yeah, specially provided prostitutes.
At no extra cost.
I mean, you know, this is a really sordid, salacious sort of scandal that I think people can relate to.
When you are done giving the people the facts, I want to insert my imagined consequences and the play out of this thing.
Okay, well, let's continue with the facts for a minute. So anyhow... in fact, yesterday, Fogo, his house in Virginia was raided by the FBI looking for evidence and whatnot. They had a search warrant. So he has resigned. And at about the same time this information or this story surfaced, Goss immediately, like, resigned. Same day. He just left. So... There have been some writings on the internet that says Goss actually attended some of these poker parties at the Watergate where there was booze and women and perhaps bribes going on.
What's left?
Yeah, right, you got them all right there. I mean, geez. And so he you know, and then of course in and this is what I found interesting is the mainstream media was really willing to, and they still are unwilling to really come out and say it's prostitution involved in it. They're saying things like, well, you know, his role became diminished when the CIA fell under the national security of what the position that John Negroponte has, and they were spending it that way that he had less access
really
to the president.
We can't really call them prostitutes because they've only been arrested and convicted 12 or 13 times.
Yeah, right.
And you can't really say he was consorting with her because his pants were only part the way down.
Right.
And so to be fair, we got to see what the knees have to say about this.
But so that's the story with Porter Goss. So he goes because... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, he basically goes because his number three man is implicated in a prostitution scandal is really what you should what it should be called.
Well, I want to make sure to get this clear for myself. Is now Goss was or was not a right-wing fundamentalist Baptist who counseled everybody else on how to have sex, when to have sex, and if they could have sex at all.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, or maybe he wasn't, you know, but that whole group, you know.
Well, that... There, you can at least say guilt by association, if nothing else.
I sure, mean, Doolittle, you know?
Yeah, just like Doolittle.
Anyway.
Great example.
Different indictment altogether. Oh, we're getting a call. So, a Doolittle fan. Anyway, so here's my version of what happened in my imagination.
No, she's not. We're on the air.
Anyway, when the subject of Goss came up, suddenly evacuating his job, is that, and then almost the next day they had stories about this incident at the Watergate. Anyway, so I had this picture flashing in my mind of this room full of poker-playing sex freaks, and Goss, being the head of the CIA, has a lookout posted for himself. You know, they don't trust anybody out there on Northeast Street, Northwest Street, and gets a call on a cell phone right there where he's busy, if you know what I mean. And it goes
busy in the biblical way.
Chirp, 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 chirp. And he picks up the phone, and they look out, says, "Hey, it's cops! It's the FBI! You're coming! Get out of there!" And of course, Goss says, "All the way? Yeah, down to the car." So Goss jumps up, throws on his pants and his tie, and he runs. Got one of the clip-on types. Runs out, not telling anybody else to beware, because all he's really concerned about is Goss himself. He
right.
Gets down to the elevator, and he's down. He goes down to the underground parking place where mm-hmm. I once spent some time, and he goes to his car, especially marked by being unmarked. Opens the door, and he hears him coming, and he stands up straight, looks. Bends down, but the door, because it's being specially rigged by the CIA, closes on his tie. Now he can't get it open. Now his tie's stuck in there. His pants have fallen down again. And he doesn't know what to do. So anyway, a cop from Washington, D.C. sees him and wants to arrest him. Of course, everybody from the vice president on down says, no, he's not involved. But eventually, this D.C. cop, not knowing anything, and a security guard.
Right, security guard.
Security guard.
Rent-a-cop.
Right? And so now it's on the record, and they said, well, you know, if anybody's going to be embarrassed, it's not going to be me. You got to go.
And that's probably, you know, that's probably what happened, you know, something like
or
this.
Or something, or words to that effect.
Yeah, something along those lines. But getting back to the person that's kind of at the center of this thing is, and I really don't know that much about him other than he gave a lot of bribes to Duke Cunningham as this Brent Wilkes. Now, the interesting thing about Brent Wilkes, and it's being reported a little bit, Brent Wilkes, and I mean, this is like, this reminds me of Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job there, Brownie. It's this Brent Wilkes is high school friends and classmates with who other than
Abramoff?
No, close. No, with Dusty Fogle.
Oh,
they're high school buddies. I mean, you know, you talk about.
And everybody gets a share.
I mean, you talk about cronyism, you know, personified. That's really a great
example. I need
somebody
to watch my back. Let's go up.
So, anyhow, this Brent Wilkes, now this is the next step in it. And, the story I sent to you the other day on Op Ed News, it wasn't really a story. It was more like a scorecard from a writer in Berkeley, basically, you know, saying that, well, not only does this Brent Wilkes have had strong ties to Dusty Fogle and Duke Cunningham, but also here in California, Duncan Hunter in San Diego, Representative Jerry Lewis versus the comedian Jerry Lewis. Richard Pombo, Republican out of Tracy.
He's had some troubles all for a long time.
Right, and John Doolittle, the representative out of...
Very religious, very stand-up, very anti-gambling.
I mean, Doolittle's problems are not only with this Brent Wilkes guy, but he's also been tied in very closely to Abramoff, and his wife is, you know, she's taken these commissions from his campaign contributions for, you know, funding. And basically, it's a payoff is what it is. But it's interesting that, you know, it's a never-ending chain,
it seems. The only thing that would have made this better or juicier or whatever is if when other people are trying to evacuate the Watergate or heading down there and a gunfire breaks out between the FBI agents and CIA agents protecting their bosses and the FBI that didn't know anything about it or were paid by somebody else to do it.
I thought you were going to say what would have made it more interesting were some photographs.
What about all those
surveillance cameras?
I mean, they're all over the place. About them, you know?
Yeah, you know, that's a, you know, I'm saying it in jest, but you know, you go every place nowadays. You go to your dry cleaner.
If you go any street and corner of New York.
Grocery store. They have surveillance cameras all over.
And you notice they're always mentioned when it's you.
But right.
It's never mentioned when it's them.
It's not when somebody of power or I don't want to say significance because they're no more significant. I guess I should say people of power. But you know, think about it.
Dan, this is what we got to do. We got to get a hacker to be able to link up to the video cameras at suspected places so we can watch them 24 hours a day, seeing what they're seeing. Then you know we'd have a copy we could.
Yeah. But if you think about this in these terms, I made the half just the photographs. I'm thinking of, you know, some rather sordid photographs. But think about, you know, these things at the Watergate. Think about places in Washington, D.C. Every place you go, it seems like, any business you go into, even a small mom-and-pop business, they have these surveillance cameras or something that makes you think they're a surveillance camera. You got to think, all over Washington, D.C., they have these. Who has these tapes? I mean, they're obviously not, they're going to protect these people, but they got to have some evidence on these guys going in and out of these hotels, these prostitutes going in and out of the hotel. Oh, one other thing about this whole Watergate hotel, the prostitute thing, and they were being shuttled around in illegal limousines, too, in Washington.
Right, that are being paid by the government huge amounts of money.
Not properly
just
licensed.
Connected with guess who? Cunningham.
Oh, is that right?
Well, there was a Cunningham connection.
God. It's just, you know, it is amazing.
Did you say cunnilingus on there?
No, I wouldn't say that. I don't think that's one of the seven
Latin
words. You know, Tom, we're living in a kind of a Nazi state, and if you were to say something like that, you know, the Bible thumpers are liable to come out here, storm KRBS, which the opinions voice here don't reflect the underwriters.
There are no Bible thumpers in Oroville, California. This is the most liberal community that I've ever seen. Why, you know, they're still living in the 50s when people could actually vote.
People could have somewhat civil discourse on, you know, political discussions.
Back when kids could say, hey, that's a free country, ain't it?
That's right. That used to be a common thing.
You don't hear that anymore, do you?
You'd say that to a teacher. Of course, you get slapped then, you know, but you can say it, you know.
You can say it like this to a teacher. Hey, it's a free country, ain't it?
But is it a free country?
Not anymore.
So anyhow, that's the whole deal with the CIA. I think that...
barely scratched the surface.
It's just scratching the surface on this thing. And you know, it'll be interesting to see what comes of this... search of Fogel, Dusty's house. Let's just call him Dusty. It's Dusty. Yeah, it's a little easier. He sounds like a crooked politician.
Well, you know,
Dusty,
when you come to think of it, I was mentioning, and I'm actually kind of making a mental connection here, is that yes, those videos of these guys do exist. They don't seem to turn up in hearings and that sort of thing. It's either because the defense attorney isn't saying, either we got to keep them out, you're not hearing that, because they would talk about they were trying to keep out the videotapes, or the prosecution is saying, can we enter it, and the judge says yes. What they're saying is that both sides agreed not to show it.
Right.
And so that puts both sides in cahoots.
Right.
Which proves, as we're going to get to Nancy Pelosi later on, shows that's how it works. It's just nobody's guilty because everybody is.
Right, right. And since everybody's guilty, nobody's guilty. You know, it's like, sure. It's kind of like...
If he went, I'd go too.
War is peace, you know? Mm-hmm. So, anyhow, you're listening to Left Turn on Bird Street. We invite you to take a look at our blog, which is located at www.ltobs.blogspot.com, and take a look at it. We certainly appreciate it if you left some comments to some of our stories, and we try to update it regularly, almost daily. Sometimes we miss a day or two, so take a look at that. And also, we like to I lost my train of thought here, Tom. Bail me out. I lost my train of thought.
Huh? I wasn't listening.
Jesus, hey, I'm not at home, you know.
You're going to put on
That's right.
Built for Speed.
That's right. We're going to take a short break here, and we'll be back in just a minute or two. We're going to play, let's see if I have this queued up here right. Oh, I don't. God, Tom, I am really slipping here today.
I think we have a, let me.
Which one is Built for Speed? Anyhow, that is
There you go. I think it's number two. There you go. We're talking about the 50s. This is the 50s. Done, of course, in the 90s or the 2000s. But
yeah, that's right. I need some more coffee.
Stray Cats
were actually, I guess, late 80s, early 90s. They're more like early 80s now,
but they were good.
Yeah, early 80s, I think, actually. God, I'm really losing track.
Nick Rowe, you ever listen to him?
No, I can't say I did.
He's really good with the same vintage and style, but really a great piano player.
Oh, is that right?
A singer, and writes great stuff. You don't hear so much of him.
Okay. We're going to take a little break now. You're listening to Left Turn on Bird Street. My name is Dan Gowerty, and Tom Nadel is my is our co-host.
Right here.
Right there. Right. He's on the. I have to control the board, and I'm not very good at it sometimes. Tom's better at it, but he won't do it. So.
What?
You're better at controlling the board than I am, I think.
I'm into control, yeah.
Yeah, you're in the Alexander.
Speaking of, got to go with this, is Billman, that station, that site that I follow.
Whiskey bar.
I got it in here. Mm-hmm. And he makes some allusions to some of the people that weren't picked up in that dragnet. And he makes some really surreptitious remarks. And then down the bottom is a put-together photo of Condoleezza in the costume of Catwoman carrying a whip. And I think that something else is going to be coming out here pretty soon.
I like that. Well, we're going to take a break as promised and listen to this little Stray Cats. Stay tuned. You're listening to Left Turn on Bird Street.